is up, humans, mutants alike? My name is Kyle. I am on my own today, and we are talking X-Men issue number 26 and Dark X-Men issue number 2. It has been a while since we have talked X-Men at all. Since last we left off, where did we leave off? I don't even remember. Danny's not here. I'm alone. This feels so wrong without Danny. Hopefully he will return. We shall see in the future. But last we left off, we talked a little bit about our boy, protege, the man with the God-fearing nature, believing in destiny and hope as they struggle across the desert. I loved it in every single shape or form, in a campy way, I should say. Danny did not. Danny did not like this whatsoever. He's really been negative on X-Men in general lately, and I don't blame him. I do not blame him whatsoever, considering what we've been given recently. But nonetheless, let's dive in to X-Men issue number 26. That is right. We are talking Jerry Duggan. We are talking... Hold on, let me pull up... Alright, so Jerry Duggan is the writer. Jim Toey and Javier Pina are the artists. Marte Garcia, my man Marte Garcia, on the colors. And Tom Mueller. Tom Mueller's still sticking around. All right, cool. With Lucas Wernick with the cover art. And I got to say, the cover art with Jean Grey and the Five Cuckoos with the rest of the X-Men team. Beautiful. I love it. I love everything about it. Keep it up, Lucas Wernick. Before we dive in to issue number 26, I do want to talk about the uncanny experience that happened last weekend. I unfortunately did not get to go, but I got to make the commercial for the uncanny experience. So I'm glad my boys over there, I'm talking Chandler Poling and Chris Riley. Congratulations, as well as Dylan. Sorry, Dylan and everyone over there at X Reads and House of X Podcast. Good job, guys, on their first convention. Another thing to note before we get into issue 26 is what happened last issue. I forgot. Kitty Pryde essentially is taking on her previous mentor Ogun's kind of mentality of fuck it and let's kill them all, as Johnny Rico would say in Starship Troopers. Also, Casper Van Diem, he appeared at the Uncanny Experience podcast or convention as well. Last issue we discussed about Kitty Pryde. She kind of transformed from that girl, always kind of reserved, right? And now she's going all out. She's savage. She's willing to kill, essentially. And we're seeing a different side. And that's kind of like this visual transformation we're seeing from pirate to ninja. What do you think of that? The transformation to pirate, from pirate to ninja, they're kind of two heads of a different coin, almost. But nonetheless, let's get into issue number 26. So we start off back at the Hellfire Gala, and we see Typhoid Mary and Kingpin and Wilson Fisk, and they're kind of living it up. They're newlyweds. Kingpin's now allowed on Krakoa because of it, and this is when the attack happens, right? And more or less, Kingpin kind of makes his escape, knowing that everyone's going to die. We even get this moment with a ambassador, where he's just all like, I'm not going to leave, I'm an ambassador, don't you understand? I'm an ambassador. We must stay. And it cuts to the next panel. This is, and Kingpin's with, Kingpin is with, what's her face? The White Queen. I can't think of her name because I have a mental illness that is ADHD and I forget names so much. But he's just like, yeah, they're all dead. Of course they're all dead. But essentially, we get Emma Frost. That's her name. I remember things, people. I remember things. So we get Emma Frost, and she's just like, I hate to say this, but will you help me? And he's like, yeah, of course. Kingpin's like, yeah, your enemies are my enemies. Let's do this. And we get this really cool panel of kind of Kingpin being this overbearing person, and it's just engulfing and encompassing Emma Frost a little bit, and it's great great artwork going on here. So we kind of move forward, and we see, so right now Wilson Fisk is the White King of the Hellfire Club, and essentially Tony Stark is acting as the Black King, right? The Black King of the Hellfire Club at the moment, and he's just putting on this persona of his typical playboy kind of attitude, right? So last we seen in an Iron Man issue that I kind of read really fast, essentially now that Tony Stark has been ousted from his company, the Sentinel program is now using Iron Man tech, and he's on the run with Emma, who is now taking on this persona of, what's her name? What's that name? Miss Kendall. Miss Kendall is her alter ego at the moment. And, for the most part, they're doing this kind of faux wedding with one another. Just to kind of, it's like more of a business decision. Kind of what Kingpin and Typhoid Mary is doing. Oh, we suspect he is doing, at least. We're not too sure of that because everything kind of fell apart at the Hellfire Gala, right? So we move forward, and Miss Kendall kind of takes Tony Stark away from the party that's happening at the Hellfire Club. He walks away, puts down his drink because he's not really drinking, right? He's pretending he's a sober man these days, but the public does not know that, and now he refers to Miss Kendall as Emma, and essentially talking about the rogue, right? Mole, which is Firestar. Firestar working for Orcus, right? At the moment. And there's just this great moment about where she's just like, they're kind of playing with one another and not really saying what they want to say. So, essentially, Emma's just all like, you know, she's the mole. Tell her she's been targeted as a rogue mutant assassin who she has no hope of surviving. If she is not the mole, then I'll go fetch an urn from the basement. And Tony Stark's just like, ah, got it. I'll make a call, essentially. So, yeah, this is kind of this moment where they're like, Firestar, everyone at the moment. So, Firestar, to call back to the Hellfire Gala, Jean Grey's, upon her death, she planted the memories that Firestar was actually a double agent working for Orcus. And this is to allow Firestar to get closer to Orcus and to figure out and gather information. The bad side of this is that every mutant thinks that she's a turncoat, that she's a betrayer of the mutant kind, of mutantdom and whatnot. Tony Stark knows about this. She makes some calls. Then we go to Miss Marvel as a mutant now, doing nothing, literally doing nothing, saving like a random mutant. But she has no purpose whatsoever in these stories. They pumped her up. If you're going to pump her up, give her something to do. And you're not giving her anything to do at all. And everything about her new design, the artists are doing their job. She looks great. She looks amazing. But I need more agency from her. If she's going to be a mutant, make her a mutant. Don't just tell me she's a mutant. Have her do something more than just like help this random person with alopecia that gets beat up. Literally. So outside of that small story with Kamala Khan, we move on to Kitty Pryde herself. Kate Pryde as a ninja. She's going on Orcus, and she kind of takes this ship, right? And she kind of hops onto Orcus. She phases through, and she right when she gets on, she's detected. Everyone notices her. She knew she would be detected. She's running. She's just going for it at this moment. And the alarms are going off. We see Firestar kind of kind of prepping herself. She was warned by Stark because, you know, the conversation we just had. She probably would have left earlier if she got an early warning. This is kind of like her inner monologue at the moment. Meanwhile, we get to see Kitty Pryde doing some crazy ass phase shift murders. I'm going to call them phase shift murders. So she's running towards two Orcus agents. She just phases like off a guy's head. I assume she like phases through it. Then like in chunks kind of materializes, so it like cuts the head off. How do you think that works? Is she materializing within it, or is she patternly? I feel it. You know what? It's the Fibonacci sequence of phasing and unphasing. I called it. All right, we did it. Let's move on. But yeah, these murders are great. I love it. I love seeing Kitty Pryde. And the one where essentially what she does is she punches another agent. She grabs him by the foot. And she's on this, like, glass that's looking out into space. She phases him through the glass halfway and then materializes him and cuts him off. And then, like, half of his upper torso is essentially drifting off into space. And it's beautiful. Well done, artists. I love it. I love it. Everything about that is great. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Give me more of Kitty Pryde murdering people. But we get this moment where Firestar is freaking out. And then in the background, we kind of see Kitty Pryde. She phased out of the ship and went around and essentially phases through the glass and kicks Firestar in the back of the head. And this is the point where Firestar kind of essentially goes into her Firestar form. And she essentially has that makes her fire, so she's a material as well. So, but both of them are having like a phase off essentially at this moment, and this is where Firestar's kind of like, no man, you got to believe me. Jean Grey kind of put these memories in and whatnot, and we get this moment where they're just kind of going back and forth. And she's just like, that's kind of the most Jean Grey thing I've ever heard. You're right. Okay, I believe you. And it's great because Kitty would know this. But they did build her up to seem like she was going to murder Firestar, right? She was going to murder her. There was no doubt about it. Like, the way at least Dugan wrote it earlier, it felt like he was priming and prepping to murder Firestar with her. But he's just like, nope, here we are. Yeah, I believe you. All right. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to, like, beat you up some more. And then I'm going to go and I'm going to go figure out some stuff. And she's like, wait, tell me some information. And she's just all like, you know, I believe you, but I'm not giving you all the pieces because that's why would I give one person all the pieces? That's one single point of failure. I rather have you have a little piece, Emma have a little piece. If everyone has a little piece, it's harder to piece the pictures. Piece the pictures? Piece the pictures? Yeah. Yeah, because it's a puzzle That is this metaphor that I'm trying to say that is the X-Men Underground Network. Yes. All right. We got there. Cool. But yeah. So she punches him up and she's like, just make sure no one comes after me. And even then she's like, no, you're supposed to be the enemy. So use this as a time to train. People are going to come and murder you. Make it seem real. And that's a pretty badass moment from Kitty. Make it seem real. I'm going to punch you. All right. Peace. Good luck. I believe you. And yeah, she just bails. She bails through the portal. Because she portals now. That's what she does. So Emma goes to meet up with Kitty. And this is kind of where they kind of talk about Firestar and all that situation. They kind of talk about that. And then they're like, all right, cool. But what about Scott? Because no one knows what's going on with Scott, which was also in the last issue of X-Men, I think. Yeah. Where we had Club Sinister or Dr. Stasis, whatever you want to call him. He's like, he sewed his eyes shut, his mouth shut. No, just his eyes. His eyes shut and is kind of torturing him somewhere in some Orcus facility, ? So no one knows what's going on with Scott at the moment. But Emma kind of is like, well, I'm going to go do some stuff with Stark. You go figure some stuff out. And that's kind of where we get Faelong. Faelong's the one that's kind of in charge of Stark Industries currently and is the person who is the reason why we have Stark Tech on the Sentinel program currently. So while Faelong kind of pops up, we get Stark kind of taking Emma away at the moment. Miss Kendall. She's in Miss Kendall's disguise, and this is when they're kind of like arguing a little bit, and her ring is the thing that kind of hides her disguise, and she takes it off. When she takes it off, like, there's this moment where Stark gets a hold of it, but then Emma knees him in the nuts. So then when Faelong comes in, it looks like they're proposing to one another, and because of this, we get this moment where Emma is, it's just like, I'm in this thing, kind of caught up, and I don't think I'm going to be able to help you with whatever you're doing currently, which is, I think, trying to figure out where Scott is. And she's like, me too, Emma, which makes it seem like she's kind of feels betrayed by Emma. Because of Tony Stark. And makes sense. I get it. She's very savage at the moment. So that's kind of her first, I guess, her go-to. And whatnot. I don't know. But that is where this issue ends. And I like everything going on with Kitty. It's really hard not to love Kitty. Everyone loves Kitty. I love her more than most of you listening right now, but I get that everyone loves Kitty. A little less than me, but I get it. But everything with Kamala Khan, everything with Ms. Marvel is so forced. Not forced, it's just you're telling me she's a mutant. You're not really giving her anything to do, and she has these small moments. You can't give her like some 1966 X-Men moment in a 2023 comic for two pages and expect me to think she's integral in any way, at least currently. Maybe she's not. Maybe you're just giving her two pages to give her two pages. I don't know. But yeah, give me more Kitty. That's all I have to say about that. Let's move on to Dark X-Men issue number 2. So last we left off with Dark X-Men, we got this new mutant randomly and kind of getting attacked, right? So we had these group consisting of Maggot and Gambit and Angel and who else? One more. I feel like there's one more. I can't think of it. But they went and they tried to save... Havoc. There we go. Havoc. And essentially Havoc got badly injured. And Archangel... Is it Angel? Yeah, Archangel. Sorry. Archangel was essentially... He died. They bailed. They're all like, let's not leave without Angel. And they're like, nah, he's dead. He's gone. So they bailed. And we start off with... Well, first off, before we get to that, Dark X-Men issue number 2, Wings Off Flies, is written by Steve Fox. Artist, Jonas Scharf. Color artist, Frank Martin. And Steven Segovia and Frank Martin did the cover art. Good stuff. Good stuff on the cover. The covers are always great. You can't go wrong. So essentially, we start off with this kind of backstory of Madeline Pryor and her life and how she, across multiple universes, she's always fought and survived against X-Men and whatnot. And we see her kind of menacingly, or at least we see this goblin version kind of menacingly kind of caressing Archangel. More or less, we see this corrupted version, right? The Goblin Queen. Seems like she's doing some type of ritual. But then we cut to Madeline Pryor, who is looking over a dying Havoc, who is kind of doing a similar thing, right? She's kind of mirroring this Goblin Queen and also resurrecting Havoc as he's dying, or making sure she's not dying, and whatnot. And yeah, we get this moment where essentially Gambit comes in, let her work, she lets him work, everyone's kind of just bickering with one another, more or less. Maggot's just all like, you left fucking wearing fucking Archangel and whatnot, and Asdra's just like, no, man, he was gone, come on, just let it be, let it be. Everyone's like, just let it be. And we get this girl, right, this new mutant girl, just kind of hanging out in the corner, right? And while that's kind of happening, we get the parts of Albert. Remember Albert, the robot version of Wolverine? They kind of have all those parts, they're just dragging him in at the moment, and there's just chaos happening in this world of X currently. Whatever this team, what would you call this team? The Dark Team? Dark X-Men, yeah. I'm an idiot. Of course, it's called Dark X-Men. The team's called Dark X-Men. It's called Dark X-Men. Come on. All right. So, we move on. We get Madeline Pryor and Havoc. Havoc's alive, right? Everyone's looking at him. And this is where we kind of get the introduction of Carmen Cruz, who is this new mutant. And she goes by Faint. She used to go by a gimmick, but she wants to go by Faint now. And everyone's like, all right, Faint, let's do this, right? So we get these two agents, Agent Valens and Agent Kroll. We kind of get this kind of report from them. But then we get to see both of them in the next panel, kind of overlooking the Goblin Queen, right? And they're just kind of seeing it. And at the moment, they also have this thing that we saw in the last one with the Goblin Queen, which was this like weird Morlocky mutiny thing, monster that looks like Nightcrawler, and they call it the Banff Dragon. So it does have something to do with Nightcrawler in some way, shape, or form. But she's just doing this ritual over over Archangel at the moment, while the two agents are kind of overlooking it. Yeah. I mean, I don't... We know that some of these people have some, like, powers. Like, they mentioned that Valens specializes in the arcane, so... but they're more or less, no one knows anything about either of them. Their stuff's redacted, so it's just a tease. It's just a tease at the moment. You know, we get to see them play with cybernetics, and this is where we kind of get the Albert coming back. We cut back to the Dark X team. We get Albert. He's all weird. Albert has a new head. That's all weird. He wants to go by Zero Wolverine now. Everyone's just like, what? Whatever. Maggot's just like, I'm out. Nope. I have maggots leeching off of me, and this is weird. Fuck it. I'm out. So, we kind of cut to Havoc. Kind of having this kind of rapport with this new girl. I already forgot her name. Sorry. Faint. Yeah, I remember things. And he's kind of showing her a picture on her phone, on his phone, of Madeline and him, and what the X-Men, you know, kind of mean to him, and kind of what's going on in the situation. Actually, no, I don't think that's what he says at all. What does he? No, he. You know, it's Havoc. Let's just say he says nothing important and we move on, because we know it's Havoc. But we cut to the Dark X-Men, and we saw this in the last comic. We saw that Madeline had this version of Cerebro, right? And we're seeing it again here. And what does she call it? She calls it a Mercy Crown. That's what it's called. But it's a Cerebro-like device. And when she puts it on, unlike Cerebro, who uses psychic powers, Madeline Pryor's traffics the souls. So she puts it on, right? And she's kind of like scouting out, looking out, looking for someone. And that's when she's like, she figures it out. Mexico, and that's when we get Azrael the Banff, everyone there, right? And they kind of all, we have this moment where Madeline wants everyone to split up. They're like, let's not split up, blah 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 blah, blibbity blah. So they go out, and she uses her powers, and I don't really know exactly what her powers are again. But they find this village, and that's when we cut away to essentially Calypso in Madripoor. And she's hanging out with some warlocks, you know. Just hanging out on a boat, like she's captaining a boat and whatnot. And that's when she's just like, get down! Everyone get the fuck down! And they get down, right? And some of the warlocks, they're decapitated. Like, something just swoops in fast and just decapitates their heads off with the quickness. And that's when Azrael and the Dark X-Men kind of bamf in. And he's just like, all right, we're here. Oh, shit. What the? Oh, no. What did we just miss? And then that's when we get that moment where they're like, oh, I know what happened. I know what happened to him. Who said that? Who says it? It's Gambit, I believe. Or is it Azrael himself? But they're like, oh. Looks like Azrael. It's like, oh, he did it. And we get this single page panel of this resurrected Archangel with this, like, melted skull on top. But he is alive in some way, shape, or form. And he just murdered a bunch of Morlocks. Oh, I shouldn't laugh. They're people too. They're mutants too. Come on, treat them with respect. But that is Dark X-Men, and this was not as great as the first issue. But I'm still kind of invested in what's going to happen with these guys. I still want to know exactly what the Goblin Queen is and that weird Banff dragon and its purpose. I wish they would give us more instead of just a tease of something we already knew. You always give me something new. That's something I appreciate, but I understand comics is all about kind of repeating yourself a lot. So I don't judge it as harshly. But yeah, that is it for this issue. I believe what's coming, we get some, got some Wolverine stuff happening, Mortal X-Men, some X-Force, I know the X-Men Red stuff and the mutant, Civil War happening on Araco is kind of segregated to what's happening here. So I'll probably do something separate with that. And eventually catch up and just do it all in kind of like one or two videos or podcasts. And yeah, we'll go from there. But yeah, more X-Men to come and hopefully some guests to come. I know a lot of people. I'm a person. I know people. We can make something happen. But that will do it for this week's episode. Be sure to check out freespeechgeek.com, as well as visit it on YouTube, Instagram, all that jazz. Give it a like, give it a sub, push all the buttons and whatnot. That'll do it for this week. Remember, folks, the robots will kill you. So, you know, get a little dark magic up in this. You don't always have to use science, technology, and psychic energy. Get a little magic. Be a little like Madeline Pryor. Take that man for your own. Jean Grey, it's not Jean Grey's property. It's your property, bitch. Thanks for listening, humans and mutants alike. If you like this podcast, be sure to check out Podcast of X Classics, which are currently being uploaded daily on YouTube. These are backlogged issues of Podcast of X that have never been uploaded on YouTube. So if you haven't given them a listen, go check them out. And be sure to check out freespeechgeek.com.